Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, can we read it? It's a scripture there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I think verse 1 and verse 2 or so. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. Let a man so account of us, we ministers, as of the ministers of Christ, and all gifted brethren we fall within this category, and all of you that serve God in any capacity at all, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Listen to verse 2. Moreover, it is required in steward, in service, that a man be found what? Be found what? Faithful. That is the problem we have. Faithful. Faithful. Faithful and truthful. I shared this testimony here one time. Dora Kuyili. When Obasanjo became governor of, I read it, so there's nothing secret about it. It was in the paper. When Obasanjo became president, he said he was talking to his friend. He said he wants somebody who doesn't know anybody he can trust that will take care of NAFDAC. He wants to appoint somebody for NAFDAC. He said the man told him, he said, that was so many years ago. Was that not the story of Joseph? In a prison, he did something that made him to be remembered. He said, so many years ago, there's one woman that was working under me. They went for you abroad for one program, and they were given Esther code, money from government. So when you spend, you bring receipt and things like that. So everybody will forge receipt. I spent this, I did this, I did this. She went and came back. She was the only one that came back and returned the money, the balance, and said, this is what we spent, this is what remained. She was the only one. And her oga is this man. And the oga was looking, said, eh? Even me, when I go, I know they bring back money. And this woman bring them back. And wash her, I'm sure, subsequently. Obasanjo just said, I beg, give me, find her number. The man sat down there, made one call. People who know her got the number, gave it to the president. The woman said she was sitting down somewhere, and then a call came in. I'll be OBJ. Waiting, he said, come and meet me. She said she teased her 419. And before she came, they said, yes, the president is expecting you. That is how they came. He said, see, I've heard of you. I want you. That is how she got that appointment. Faithfulness. It pays. It pays, so praise the Lord. And more importantly, we as Christians, what testimony do you have wherever you are? And somebody heard that you're a Christian and he will test you. Test you. Just drop money. Drop. I told you of the testimony of the woman. Pastor Fiala told me. He told me of that woman that was a cook in a rich man's house. She was a widow with how many children or so. She would come and cook and go. The man would carelessly leave food items, but he's taking note of them, believing that she will pack them, hide, and when she's going home, she will go with it. If the money he keep, the woman go pack them, keep her where he go see money, then go. If the tomato where remain, he go pack them, gather and put for fridge, go. The man was taking notes. After some time, he confirmed this woman is an honest woman. That was when he asked, I tested you all these months. I think it was there for over a year or so. And I've confirmed. Deliberately, I was not giving you any cover, no change apart from your salary. Deliberately, I was, and I knew you had need. I found out who you are. You have found out everything. And what this man did was, it's okay. From now, all your children will be under my scholarship till they finish university. Then, he dashed her one of his houses. He said, I dash you. If you still want to continue walking, you are free to walk. But if you are okay, you want to do something else, ask me, I will give you the money to start anything you want to do. And the woman said, no, I will walk with you till I die. Somebody is watching you to commit a business into your hand now, and you may not know it. Somebody is waiting to see whether he can trust you or not. With little thing. Money you're supposed to share, you go chop him alone. Cut this one, cut. Na. Imagine that you want to cheat a millionaire with 20,000 naira. He will find out that you have taken 20,000 naira. He will just look at you. Next time again, he will find out that you have cheated him with another 10,000 naira. He will see him asking you, is that all? He said, is that all? Is this finished? He said, well, light. I swear to God, this is it. The next thing he will call you is, you've done very well. Take 100,000 naira. Go and set up yourself. Because he knows 100,000 will not do you anything. You go back to square one. But there are others, oh, praise God, that you just say, you, I'm giving you 20 containers. I'm giving you 20 containers. One of these rich men that was controlling sugar industry, that was the story I had concerning him. You're from Nigeria, somewhere in London. We're looking for market in Nigeria to sell sugar. Can you help us open market there for us? He said, why not? Sugar, why not? It's okay. We give you one shipload of sugar. Use it. The man came here, and in less than 1 week after the ship arrived, before the ship arrived, you don't get buyer. As it here, the person took over the ship, they clear, give her money, he sent the money to them. They say, this Nigerian man, we can do business with him. He came again. This time they gave him 6 shipload. He came and sold it. Then they now signed an agreement. Every month for 1 year, 6 shipload. 6 shipload will be sending it to you. The man stood like this and controlled. I don't want to call his name because we're on air. The man stood and controlled sugar business in Nigeria. They used to say they are cabal. There was no cabal, anything. He didn't put in money. And he didn't borrow money. He was all free. He was making billions every month. Free. Because he demonstrated honesty. And he said, anytime other people saw him making money with sugar, when they want to come, he said, you go borrow money for bank, Abi. You go pay interest, Abi. When his own arrive, he will delay his own until your own arrive. When your own arrive, then he will sell his own below cost price. So everybody will go home, rush to him, buy his own. Your own is still acquiring demurrage there. Interest in the bank is still there. By the time you finish, you are on loss. That is how the man is a well-known billionaire in this country today. Honesty and sincerity, and that is the problem many of us have. Many of us have. You cheat, and it is that cheating spirit that will make a Christian not to pay tithe. Take 90%, give me 10% for the work of my ministry. That's what God is telling us. Is to meet the need of the ministry. If the thousands of people that come to this church, if they all pay tithe as they should pay, why should we come here and collect any offering for to build this place? Why should any widow have any reason at all to suffer? Why should ministers here struggle to survive? Generally, I notice in this ministry, the giving spirit is almost absent, totally absent. And I don't know why. Because we are told as a principle that the spirit of the head that rules anywhere. And if I am the head of this place, I am a giver. And I know I am. And it's not a boast over it. I know because I believe in it, I practice it, and I live by it. Then why are the members so, you know, so stingy? It worries me. Not because I need it. I am a man that God gave me a nature. First and foremost, I don't look at another man's thing. That's why I don't have jealousy in me. I don't. That's the truth. If I see you making, I rejoice with you. And I live a life of contentment. I don't think above, you know, what I can afford. I don't kill myself also over anything. I live a life. That's why I say I can never have hypertension because of thinking for anything. Nothing. It's not in me. Because what I cannot help, I don't allow it to bother me. So, when I say some things here, I'm saying it for your own good. That's the truth. There's a period of the year that is a given period. It's a period of the year that's a given period. Where people exchange gifts. Until God had to tell me to tell the church, told the church through me last Sunday, to exchange. When I had it, I was worried. Why should giving be by commandment to a believer? Why should it be by commandment? Why should God tell you to give before you will give? You know, there are things that you don't have a need. You don't need them. For the past one, if you have any cloth that for the past 1 year you have not used, it means you don't need it. But because there is no given spirit in you, no given heart, you are seeing brethren that you are taking communion together with, you hope to live eternally with, Christian brothers, that cult you belong to, you know they won't do that. Unbelievers won't do that. Muslims don't do that. People begin to think that Oyibo, they are progressing, we are not progressing. Are we practicing what they are practicing? All of us here in Africa receive, they call it AIDS. Can't you see the number of NGOs? Can't you see the number of human rights fighters? Do you think that those people are really human rights fighters? Nothing like that. Nothing like that. We know them. Any high profile thing that will announce them, they will run. Don't pay me. I will do it. Don't pay me. Now lie in the advertising market. If not, go to prison now. People that are just caught on the road and put into prison. Nobody is going to stand for them. I know a human right. Somebody that everybody in this country has human right. My junior sister had problem with her husband that turned and was trying to use his influence against her. I said, go there and demand a human right. I think they see her for this paper. He went there and sat down. The man was saying, you have 20 million to drop? I'll fight it for you. But the whole world says a human right fighter. Do you know why? Because in Oyibo land, there are people, organizations that sponsor, send money to human rights, send money to what do you call it? NGOs, non-governmental organizations. So if you have orphanage, they will help you. If you have anything that to help mankind, to start with, an NGO is not to be set up and then you use it to solicit for money. You are not to set up orphanage and carry paper and be going up and down. Help our people. Help our children. Help. You see, it's only in this part of the world they do that. It is because you have and you want to give back to the society, that you set it up and use your resources to take care of it. But the everywhere is, you know, what do you see the difference? Oyibo people, see them, the economy is prospering, everything is prospering. Brother Paul, you are in Spain, you are listening to me. You were there, you were an immigrant, you didn't even have your papers. And where you stood waiting, where you stayed, where you were looking for paper, hiding there, struggling to make ends meet, one day the house caught fire. And the local government ran there immediately and packed him and his wife and his children and took them, even with a therapy that will relieve them of shock. And then kept them in a hotel for about 6 months. Within the 6 months, government was looking for accommodation for them. And they don't get paper out. And they are not Spanish people. But just human feeling for another human being that needs help. Unbeliever, you here for church, uncle. That is why they are prospering. We here will remain beggars and beggars and beggars and beggars. I'm saying something here. Hallelujah. You are not a giver. You will continue to live frustrated life. Frustrated life. Within this period here, you have to be forced to give. Because I remember, why is the Lord telling me this again? I remember the previous year where he said, before you enter that last year or last 2 years, that you should go to your father, the man that brought you up, or your father, and give a gift before you cross over to the next year. Why does God need to remind me to take care of my father? Something is wrong with me. You are here. You can take 30,000 naira and give a girlfriend to buy a phone. Your father is there. You know, if you send them rice, even one bag of rice that costs 16,000 naira, you won't do that. You are coming now. This year is my year of open door. What did you do to open the door? That is the kind of life. Why must God speak to you to help somebody you can physically see that he needs help? You don't know, it's a shame to your Christian faith that you have to be reminded to help somebody who is in need. And why should you help? Only by demonstration of contractual love. Why do you do things so that God will bless you? Why are you not doing things out of a compassionate heart? Why do you do it so that this will happen? Why are you not doing it so that the person's life may be better? Why is it always so that nobody go close my door? Now they go give you. So, brother, wear this cloth. Anytime they go to wear the cloth so that God will bless me. Oh. Blessing will never come like that. God is not a contractor like that. Give the person because you know the person has a need. And that is where the mystery of that blessing is. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He that keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Always remember, before a curse can work, there must be a reason. A curse, causeless, shall not come. Stay under the blood. If you break the edge of protection, serpent will bite you. The Bible says so. The Bible tells us clearly, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's another definition of sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, he said, to him it is sin. And even if God has to remind you before you will help a needy person, you are only helping the person by commandment. that you refuse to help the person is sin. And the fact that God commanded you to help him does not entitle you to a blessing. Because you're already a sinner. You are giving because they force you to give. No. This year, change your mind. Change your psyche. Change your thinking. Change your spirit. Be a Christian.